Leslie Visser, a lovely and talented one. Thanks much for joining us here on the celebration.
I want to really congratulate you guys. You know, you both have brought all of us so many charming and smart, really laugh-out-loud moments in the past decade. And I do wonder, though, because when I first met you, you introduced me to your friends, you know, Jersey, Googles, Polyman, George the Animal. And now, 10 years later, we've included, the Duke, NASCAR Roger, Marty the Party, Saul the Great American, Footy the Main Man. I mean, you realize I've never known anyone's first name.
None of them are real. That's
a
good part. They're, yeah.
You are totally Nathan Detroit. I mean, your absolute world is running the oldest established floating craft game. Let's face it.
Grab a bagel and a schmear, plus some Defo and Luby. Welcome back to the Defo Show. She's got style, she's got grace, she's a winner.
She's a lady. Our stated goal on this show, and welcome back to the program. Appeal yourself off the mat Monday here on 940 Wins, 1230 The Zone, which will be a salvation for Northern Broward listeners to 940 once we turn the clocks back, which I thought was this past Sunday, so slept in an extra hour. Not that it made any difference because it was raining outside. It was nothing to do except await first race post time at Gulfstream Park West. But nonetheless, good to have on the program, and it's, you know, our goal to bring you down to our level, but this is going to raise the bar a little bit here. A woman of great distinction, one of the great journalists of all time in the NFL Hall of Fame, the lovely and talented Leslie Visser, joins us here on the show. Leslie, how are you, my friend?
Well, gentlemen, you too, Defo. I come with some trying news. After Godfrey joining this morning, I heard from so many of your fans, and they're not really sure what's happening to Godfrey Lovejoy, so maybe you could get us all through it. It's a trying time for us. His voice has seemed to morph into Jersey Kyle imitating Andy Beyer.
If you see a horse.
Yeah. Well, you know, now it's become, why doesn't Jerry Jones go after Fitzpatrick?
He is changing,
really,
you're right.
Yeah, is his voice supposed to be like, the deep, like the medical infomercials, or is it supposed to be soothing, or is he on the verge of having a pulmonary embolism?
I think he's having a nervous breakdown because Tua is destined to be a star. And now, is it true he maintains, as he was leaving the studio there, and Louis had to kick him out as usual, he maintains that he knew you in your sophomore year at Boston College. Is there any truth to that?
I think you're thinking of Godfrey Kalikimaka, the
more likely him.
He specialized, you know, of course, in East African studies. Well, we had a couple of Godfreys. I shouldn't say that. We had Godfrey Ho, of course, the famous Chinese movie director. Is that who you're thinking of? Godfrey
Possibly
Ho.
Possibly so.
He ran the Ching Chai Studios.
Is that true? I don't know. You're making up better stuff than we are here on the show. Hey, you're very familiar with Bill Belichick. You've talked to him many times, had sit-down one-on-one interviews that went beyond the usual Tom Rinaldi, Rachel Nichols type of stuff. Of course, got into great detail and got to know the man. But who's having a bigger laugh right now? Is it Giselle or Tommy? Because Brady, as much as we've tried to write him off over the last 5 years, I think he was extraordinarily brilliant yesterday in guiding the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I mean, he looked great. So did Gronkowski in that ballgame against a very depleted Raiders team, although it was their offensive line that was depleted, and I guess their defense got tired. But what do you think's going on in Beantown right now as Bill Belichick has to deal with the fact that he has what looks like a really lousy team?
Yeah, I mean, the fact that Cam wasn't the original plan. It's sort of like a man without a plan for the first time in his career, and the fact that he had to look across the field and see Jimmy G, you know, and think, wow, this could be our quarterback. But I think it's just going to be one of those lost years. And conversely, you know, outside of Russell Wilson in Seattle, who would you 100% put in front of Brady getting to the Super Bowl?
Wow, good question.
NFC? I mean, yeah, the NFC is a disaster.
Yes, from the NFC.
It's a disaster.
NFC. Wow, I don't know. I mean, is Arizona for real there with Kyler Murray? That was a nice comeback yesterday against Seattle. Brilliant ball game that went late into the evening and into, I guess, the next day. But hard to say, right? I mean, are we looking at this and surprised at the level of play that we're seeing in the NFL? And we always know that it's a league of great parity. The great Pete Rozelle is probably smiling up there in heaven, holding some kind of a pickup game. But isn't this what they wanted? And, you know, you have a few elite teams. You know, in the AFC, you'd have to say Pittsburgh, right?
Yep.
And would you still consider Tennessee? Kansas City, obviously a factor.
I put them right below Ravens. I put Ravens, Pittsburgh now, and Kansas City, and then right below the Titans. Yeah. But in the NFC, it is such a mishmash. I mean, you think, well, of course, Breeze is going to get there from the NFC. But really, I would have to say that after Seattle, I'm not sure who you can so clearly put above Tampa Bay right now, and especially with the addition. I mean, I think AB, crazy man that he is, I think he'll be good for them. I do.
Do they really need him, though? That's an interesting question.
That's a crazy thing.
If you don't, do you want him on your roster?
Yeah, it's that's the debatable, but I'm sure what's wrong? If you can get another weapon and get him cheap, and if they can get him, you know, to buy in to behave, then I don't know, or else it's going to be in another 3 weeks. Everyone's hitting their hand to their forehead. I told Tampa Bay. So I don't know. And look at the tight ends in the league this year. I mean, the NFL is really fun this year. I think it's, even though it's, you don't know, three teams are playing on a Wednesday afternoon, but I think it's fun.
Leslie Visser with us. What was that, Luby?
Well, I was going to say, I want to ask her about the big topic at hand down here, and I'm coming to you from the Off-Lease Only Studios, DFOs at the Barefoot Beach Villas, Robo Laboratory, talking to the one, the only, the woman that puts up with us every day on her own for some reason. I still, DFO and I never will understand that, but we are eternally grateful for it. The lovely and talented Leslie Visser is with us. Okay, so the big news down here was Tua's going to start for Ryan Fitzpatrick. You've been down here a while now. You've actually done a lot of stuff with the Dolphins. As now more of a fan of just the NFL, what were your thoughts about the Dolphins switch? And you know Brian Flores from his Patriot days. What were your thoughts about the Dolphins switching now from Fitzpatrick to Tua?
Yeah, I didn't think it was a bad idea given that they had the off week. And I think it's a good time. And I think Ryan Fitzpatrick, everyone adores him. Of course, the Duke, because he's a Harvard guy. Mm-hmm. And the guy has been just the class act, right? He's like the modern Roger Staubach in the way he handles himself. But I think it's actually a good time now with the off week, and he would have gotten more play, right? Had not the worst team. I agree, the worst team in the history of the NFL actually mounted, you know, a drive there at the end, so Tua only had a couple of plays. But, you know, it's I guess where I'm confused or where I'm troubled is if you think Fitzpatrick should go to another team. I mean, you did see even after Brady replaced Drew Bledsoe, Drew went to Buffalo, remember, and he had an okay go of it there. He got to a Pro Bowl, and I think you've seen other people move on. Or is it just going to be kind of like Randall Cunningham replaces Jaworski, and then that's the end of Jaworski? What do you guys think?
That'd be nice to see him get another shot. I mean, obviously Dallas is in peril there after that Andy Dalton hit. You can't imagine he's coming back anytime soon. If he does, he's got a better chin than Jerry Quarry. you've been around the NFL a long time. I mean, the NFC East, speaking of which, and Jerry Jones, and I did want to ask you if you knew what his preferred drug of choice was, Dilaudid or morphine, to get over these hard times. But The NFL East, in your lifetime, could you imagine ever seeing something like this where they look like the bottom half of the XFL? In fact, when Daniel Jones fell down on his way into the end zone, we saw his back, and it revealed he was wearing a He Hate Me jersey. What is going on there? How could this fabled, historic and classic division be in such peril?
I think it is the saddest. I actually just, those flip cards, I just go back, and I had the blessing. It was all my years on the Madden Cruiser, and all we did was drive from the Giants down to the Eagles, down to Washington. And John used to say how much he loved. I think it's fallen apart because they don't have the old RFK Stadium anymore. I think that, like, John used to stand underneath it, and it would be freezing, and it would be humid and freezing, if that's possible. And the water, as John would say, would be dripping off the bowels of underneath RFK, and it was mud, it was mud on the field. And then Philadelphia and everybody hated each other. And then, I did the game. It was terrible when Michael Irvin got hurt and everybody in Philadelphia cheered. He was in a neck brace, and they took him off the field, and everybody was cheering. And, they hated each other. It was really like a healthy it was great. Every week was high quality football. I mean, when you think that Daryl Green was drafted last in the first round, and the first time he touched the ball for the Redskins, he scored. That's how great those teams were then. But, there's another example for Fitzpatrick, that when Dak replaced Tony Romo, Romo went on to the booth making $18 million a year. So, there can be... there can be an upside.
I tell you who loved that move the most, the $18 million to Romo, Charles Davis, when he was negotiating his deal there to join the great Iron Eagle. Two of our favorites teamed up together. Great timing by those guys. I caught them doing a Tennessee-Pittsburgh game, and they really did a good job. But two quick things. I have to ask for some mathematical advice and gambling degenerate advice from your husband, the Duke, the great Duke of Dade. Would the Duke be inclined to hedge his bet, having the Dodgers in six at 4-1? Would he go ahead and lay off the amount of the bet on the Rays in game number six and therefore not sustain a loss should the Dodgers win, but minimizing his profit if the Dodgers do go ahead and win game number six?
Well, let's see. I think that's a little too close for comfort. Although, were you in on that botched play to have the walk-off hit from somebody we never heard of the other night? Was that a gambling proposition from Babylonian?
Well, I needed that. I needed that. I needed the Rays to win, too. So with Kershaw going in game number five, I figure we were cinched there. And who knows, game six, you can't ever discount the Rays. Didn't that look like a beer league softball game? Or, one of your recreational games?
It did,
right? The guy falls down on his way to the plate. The fat guy falls down, and then the catcher whiffs on the toss. That was unbelievable.
And what happened? He thought he had it, and he was doing the sweep? Is that what the catcher...
He didn't realize Rosarena fell down. The timing would have been right. If Rosarena hadn't fallen down, it would have been perfectly timed to swipe. The problem was that Rosarena fell down halfway down the line. He had no idea.
What's the first thing they told you when you were playing ball? And they always told you, don't take your eye off the ball. And you could see
ball.
He clearly turned his head too quickly. Yeah.
Watch it.
Rare play. Unbelievable.
Jerry Rice, a lot of people think, is the greatest player ever in the history of the game. You can make that argument. And once he was asked, what is the secret to your success? He said, I just make sure I look the ball into my hands. So that if the center fielder hadn't booted it, there were about, five errors on one play?
It was great. Broken bad hit off the imperiled Kenley Jansen, who had actually redeemed himself a little bit of late. And then he's in there to try and close it out. Here's a scrub in there. I think he had like two at-bats in the postseason. Wasn't even likely to be in the game. And then they goof it up at every end. And the guy's on the ground doing a belly flop halfway to home plate. It was pretty incredible. So that helped me out. That's what you need. You need luck in this world, Leslie. You know that. You need luck. Your talent can only carry you so far, as great as you've been. You do need a little bit of luck, right? You need that break.
No, what did Branch Rickey say that you have never abided by? The great
luck
Branch
is a residue of design.
That's right, Defo. Why don't you try that? Goodbye.
special guest appearance there by popular demand, the lovely and talented Leslie Visser. I don't think we've ever been hung up on by a person of a higher caliber than Leslie.
No way.
It was awesome. It was kind of like the, speaking of Leslie's, the Trump walk-off there with Leslie Stahl. We're honored. And thank you very much, Leslie, for checking in on the show. All right, phone calls the rest of the way in this hour. Jared Spingarn going to join us in the 9 o'clock hour. Always great opinion on sport. And, of course, tremendous at what he does, his real area of expertise, despite of being just a great sports commentator and sports fan, is personal injury representation. And a lot of carelessness going on, Luby. Are you sensing that? I mean, people are driving. Meshuggah and I was on the road a couple of times this weekend, going down to Gulfstream on Friday, Hialeah Park on Saturday, and coming back from Hialeah Park. Wow, I mean, people are out there just carelessly jeopardizing other people's lives, not to mention the pandemic. All right, we're coming back with more. Am I a wimp for wanting to hedge my bet? A reasonably small wager. I mean, it's not like I have 10 grand on this thing. See, now, if it was 10 grand, there'd be no question about it. And does it get into any kind of ethnicity, Luby? You say no to this, but
I don't care about that.
Unfortunately, a bunch of anti-Semitic remarks have been directed at me on social media for even suggesting this.
Were they by Jews? I feel like Jewish people themselves are
Holy
the ones leaving these at you.
I mean, where are the guys that are sending it in? What are you talking about? Bookies would go broke if it wasn't for, you know, the Jewish people like me that love to gamble on sports. All right, back with more in a moment. Although everybody's doing it now, right? Warmly embraced by the NFL. Do you see that? Even the Dolphins have, like, some Skull and Crossbones website that is... They're now a sponsor of the team. Used to be they wouldn't take any advertising. Remember when the newspapers wouldn't even put in, like, Hooters ads? Because they thought it was over the top in terms of good taste?
Yeah, pretty much.
No strip club ads, you know, in the pro football guide, that's for sure. But now everybody warmly embracing gambling, and Roger Goodell has absolutely done a 180 and about-face on that. By the way, no incidents. I mean, have you heard anything about anthem protests since the season started? In fact, I don't know that I've ever seen the national anthem played on TV. Did they go back to the
No, that's what they're doing. They don't mess around with it, which is obviously what they should have been doing the entire time.
Is it worth a sniff on Justin Fields to usurp and overtake Trevor Lawrence, a cinch to win the Heisman Trophy?
The problem
after
is
20 of 21 performance.
Ohio State's not, I don't know if they're going to have enough games. Lawrence already has his massive lead. Like, Clemson messed around this week, and Lawrence still put up nice numbers.
What do you mean they messed around? They failed to cover.
Exactly,
a small point spread against Syracuse.
Yeah. That small point spread.
Syracuse was only getting 46 and a hook, Luby. They had to throw in a hook. 46 wasn't enough. Holy Ben Schwartzwalder. We covered easily. Did you see that? Put up 21 of our own against the 46 points that were tallied by the Clemson Tigers. Holy Dabo. As if the devil himself had come in and intervened on our behalf. All right, back with more in a moment. Now that, we'll take your calls all throughout this hour. The Greek at 3 o'clock. 866-801-0940. Mike Luby Lubitz at the controls. I'm Jeff DeForest. A Peel Yourself Off the Mat Monday, brought to you by personal injury attorney Jared Spingarn, continues in a moment. Now that.
The time.
What station? 940 wins, 1230 The Zone. It's 823. Put it any better, my friend.
Yeah, it just tends to go a little all over the place. But he's in too much of a rush to eat. He needs to slow down and take his time.
Yeah, that's pretty much the story.
Welcome back to The Defoe Show.
I think the appropriate song to bring us into this segment, Mike Luby Lubitz, is It's Only the Beginning of What We Want to See Forever. How great is this? We have the tip-off of the Tua era here in South Florida, which we're hoping turns out to be magnificent. That's coming up on Sunday. And then how great was it to see Bill Belichick yesterday having to stare across the field at Jimmy Garoppolo, the guy that Giselle forced him to get rid of because of the fact that Tommy Boy wasn't happy that he was around. I guess it was Giselle also that wasn't happy that he was around, jeopardizing Tommy's future there with the Patriots. But having to watch Bill Belichick look at the quarterback that could have been with him for the next 20 years destroy his pathetic team, while Cam Newton, a guy that he probably didn't want to begin with but took a shot on and looked like it was going to work out okay, but then he got COVID-19 and now he threw more picks in that game than Tom Brady did in 3 years. Just incredible. That, while the 4 o'clock game features, you think Belichick went in there and watched the Buccaneers?
Oh, hey. No way.
And saw Bruce Arians with that funny little hat on and the bizarre mask that he was wearing? Ratchet up the offense there. Gronkowski and Brady connecting on a touchdown pass. I think they targeted Gronkowski 5 or 6 times in the game, I believe, and he caught 5 passes and looked great doing it. I mean, just he gets knocked down, gets right up, laughs it off. It was incredible. And Brady was razor sharp in his ballgame, absolutely throwing the ball to perfection. You think he was happy seeing that after that? How crazy is that? So what's more delicious for the Dolphin fans out there? What's more delightful, the Dolphin fans? The beginning of the Tua era or the total demise and the complete disintegration of the New England Patriot dynasty right in front of our face there as Belichick has to see his prior choice at quarterback, the guy that he wanted to replace Tommy Brady, personally destroy him on his home field. And he has such frustration that he has to go to Jared Stidham.
Yes.
In a backup role because he can't count on Brian Hoyer, who's already proven to be horrible.
Exactly.
Or is it Jerry Jones on a DeLonghi drip up there now? You see him passed out in the booth? Amazing that he didn't just grab a microphone from the guy that was doing the PA and call the game off. And where were the Cowboys? What kind of gutless bunch are the Dallas Cowboys that their quarterback gets hammered like that by John Bostic? And they have no response. They say, okay, John, you know, that wasn't nice. Should there not have been a brawl ensuing after that play?
That wasn't nice.
Gee, John, that was a little rough. What happened to the Dallas Cowboys? Gutless bunch. I mean, you talk about, I mean, you called me a gutless pig for wanting to hedge my World Series bet, Luby, but Andy appropriately pointed this out to me in a private message. You're a guy who cries about losing $5, and you're going to criticize me for hedging off on this.
I'm going to hedge the bet. I mean, I make the bet for a very low sum, and hopefully I win, and if I lose, I lose.
Oh, you are so weird. You don't understand this, do you? I mean, you really don't get the whole deal.
I get what you're saying. You could either break even or at least win 300. I'd rather lose 100 or win 400.
Oh, yeah, Mr. Big. Let's see if you were in that situation, if you would do the same thing. Well, what are you, taking phone calls now from Jersey Kyle? Mr. All In? Mr. Tom Boo? I'm all in. And if you come to this country, when you have nothing, you become millionaire. All right, back with more in a moment. A Deal Volkswagen DeForest Files on tap. Don't forget about the great people from Deal Volkswagen. Great sponsors of the program and great people to deal with as well. Anna, and that wasn't her. Jersey Kyle disputed that.
You sure?
And finally,
are you sure?
Came through with the truth. That wasn't Anna with the Gastineau jersey on throwing punches at the Dolphin fans.
Okay.
At the game. She's kind of a Dolphin fan if she didn't root for the Patriots. Is that even possible to be both a Dolphin fan when they're not playing the Patriots?
I guess. Ah.
And still be a Patriot, diehard Patriot fan, in spite of the fact that Brady's now chucking a rock elsewhere and Belichick is in ruins, sitting there in ruins. I believe you will see Bob Kraft change that blue shirt out for the next Patriot game. What are the odds on that? Can I get 100-1 here? Then I don't have to hedge this bet tonight. All right, back with more in a moment. A Deal Volkswagen DeForest Files on tap. It's a Peel Yourself Off the Mat Monday, brought to you by personal injury attorney Jared Spingarn. Jared's going to join us on a show, Great Sports Opinion, and he will join us in a 9 o'clock hour. And your calls are rested away at 866-801-0940. The Greek comes your way at 3 o'clock. The one and only Greek. Spoke to him yesterday. He's in very good spirits. And we'll be back with more in a moment. Now that.
The time.
I don't think the Greek would hedge, would he?
No.
It's 8:34. Might be the most exciting bye week in Dolphins history. That story in a moment. Hi, Jeff DeForest here. They're driving from everywhere to Deal Volkswagen because Anna makes buying or leasing a VW so easy. And because it's the best location just minutes from everywhere in Dade County. Deal is celebrating October with savings so great they'll scare you. Boo! Take advantage now of a year-end clearance deal that is outrageous and save big on all remaining 2020 models. Right now, get 0% financing for up to 72 months on most new VW models. That's no interest for up to 6 years. October continues to be all about the Jetta, offering looks, style, and comfort. Driving one just makes you feel better. The prices, selection, and service are exceptional. And no tricks here, folks. They always treat you right at Deal VW. Contact Anna and the gang today at 305-448-DEEL or visit DealVolkswagen.com, and you'll be like thousands of happy customers, including me, that say it's all about the DEEL. Seems for the past couple of decades, since the retirement of the great Dan Marino, the standard series of jokes apply to the anatomy of a Dolphins bye week. You've heard many of them on this show. Fins are three-point dogs in the bye week. At least Miami can't lose this week, and on it goes. Seldom in recent times has the thought Miami would be damaged by the week off because it was derailing some burgeoning momentum the team had built up prior, temporarily providing a setback to a team on a roll. But this year, the bye week, normally a pleasant relief from what has been the drudgery of watching Dolphins mediocrity or outright poor play, has suddenly sparked the spirit of the fans like they were counting the days in the week off before a trip to the Super Bowl. That's because despite two wins that leveled the team's record at 3-3 and found them just a game behind the Bills, the top spot in the AFC East, head coach Brian Flores announced Tua Tagovailoa would be installed as the team's starting quarterback for the upcoming game against the Rams on Sunday. If he had announced Marino was coming back in his prime, it could not have created more of a buzz. Was the announcement handled diplomatically? Probably not. Ryan Fitzpatrick, despite his longtime journeyman status, had established himself as not only a very entertaining figure, but was doing more than a good enough job to make you think the team's chances of winning were best served by keeping him in the starting role. Fitzpatrick said he was crushed by the change, but understood the move and accepted it, vowing to continue his role as a mentor for the Rook. But Tagovailoa's two garbage time passes against the Jets had tickled the fancy of both the fans and especially offensive coordinator Chan Gailey, who had a grin from ear to ear when assessing what he saw in his young QB. Let's face it, if Tua is not the future at quarterback for the team, then as of now, there is no future at the position. We were wondering why other rookie QBs were making favorable impressions while the Fins were sitting on this potential franchise-changing talent. You can also see around the league the maturity of other young quarterbacks who had the benefit of seasoning from starting right away or soon after being drafted. For those reasons, this change has set Fins fans' hearts and minds spinning. The good news is we may find out next week if it just might be possible the future is now. Jeff DeForest with the DeForest Files.
Our new Miss Universe. If for any reason she is unable to fulfill her duties, the first runner-up will take her place. Miss Universe 2015 is Colombia! Okay, folks, I have to apologize. The first runner-up is Colombia. Miss Universe 2015 is Philippines.
We are back with Defo and the boys. We now return to the Defo Show.
Welcome back to the show. Speaking of another one bites the dust. Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys looking abysmal out there, and we're not seeing too much of Jerry, are we?
I'm hoping you can
dig up some clips. He'll be doing that morning radio show if he doesn't decide to just walk out, pull a Trumpster on Leslie Stahl, and just say forget about it. He's done that a couple of times, hung up on the guys who were hosting his own show. You would expect that of Nick Saban, not necessarily a guy that loves the spotlight, a very narcissistic Jerry Jones, but he can't stand it anymore. So is he on a Dilaudid or a morphine drip? That's the question. And to what level of delight is it for Dolphin fans to see Bill Belichick being tortured? Now, Belichick's already accomplished enough in his career. You know what this also compromises, the way this team is playing this year? And it doesn't appear that they really have a strong foundation where you're thinking, okay, he's going to be able to turn this around very quickly. This while Tommy Boy and Giselle are basking in the glory of what's happening in Tampa Bay right now, deemed by some, in spite of their two losses, to be the best team in the league, and they looked every bit of the part against a depleted Oakland Raider team who ran completely out of gas. If you lose your front line completely, like all five starters, is it likely that you're not going to be able to hold the ball long enough to stave off a rally in the second quarter and or second half by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
You would think.
And the Bucs kind of, I think they had control of that game all the way through, and they won that thing in a cakewalk by many lengths. But nonetheless, is it a greater delight for Dolphin fans to see Bill Belichick tortured this year and have a lousy Patriots team? They have won, what, 15 straight or something? AFC Eastern Division titles?
Yes.
Or to see Jerry Jones with a pathetic, and how the NFC East could look this bad. Are they not emblematic of everything that the NFL is supposed to stand for? Guy with grass, a clump sticking out of his helmet as he makes a tackle there in the open field, some linebacker running down a fleet running back, and a grind-it-out mentality and the whole thing, but just god-awful as the Eagles lead the division at 2-4-1. A lot of things happening. There's a lot of, you know, I mean, tremendous number of dogfights in the NFL yesterday. And, of course, that Saturday game in the World Series was an all-time classic. Looked very much, didn't it, Luby, look like one of your recreational softball games on a Sunday when you got together with the guys from college?
Yep.
Let's all get together. You know, during the summertime, people are coming home from various destinations around the country, and you're playing that Sunday doubleheader. It was always a lot of fun. It was one of my favorite recreational things in life. But you would get to play like that, where the center fielder butchered a short single that should have never happened in the first place, throws the relay throw, and the relay is right there. The guy's already fallen down. All the catcher has to do is catch the ball, and this guy's out, and the ball game's over, and you win an important World Series game, a pivotal game four, and it goes the direction of the other team when the catcher whiffs on the throw. Very Mickey Owen. Unbelievable. All right, let's pick up IndyCar Ruben, who's with us on the phones. IndyCar, how are you, my friend?
Good morning, Defoe. I wanted to give a shout-out to history made yesterday. Lewis Hamilton set the all-time Formula One win record at 92, eclipsing the great Michael Schumacher in total wins as he enters his seventh world championship. Michael's got seven, and Lewis is still in his prime, so we can reasonably expect he'll set that next year. And Scott Dixon wins his sixth IndyCar title yesterday. He's now one of the all-time greats in the IndyCar series.
I like this Stewart guy. I like Hamilton because he's got a lot of personality, this guy. I mean, and, you know, obviously is legendary now. Where is he from, England?
He's from England. His father's from Grenada. He emigrated to England. And his father, it was a great story how he really came from nothing. And he worked many jobs and put together all the money to get Lewis the car he needed as a child to race. And his brilliance was seen early, but without his father's hard work and determination, put him in, it never would have happened. So his father was there yesterday, giving him a hug in Portugal when he won the race. It was very, very touching.
Very nice, my friend. All right, now, where do you weigh in on the Tua era? Do you think it's going to be the second coming of Danny Boy, or is this something that's going to turn out to be much ado about nothing?
Listen, Deef, let's look at the Dolphins. And like we say, the fish rots from the head down. I'm pretty certain Ross was watching all these other young quarterbacks making way in the league and said, well, my shiny new toy is sitting on the bench. Let's put him in and see what happens. I don't know. That guy's got a bad wheel. He's about 4 feet tall. The offensive line better give him a lot of protection.
Thank you, IndyCar. Appreciate the call here on the show. IndyCar Ruben, ladies and gentlemen. What do you think of that?
People have this weird misconception of Tua. I'm very happy he's going to play, and other people who have no idea what they're talking about are going to have to shut up.
They act like he's a midget wrestler, like he was a second coming
right
to
Sky now, Kyler Murray's doing what he's doing, and he's like a giant compared to Kyler Murray. We saw him in person. He's not tall, but he's not he dwarfs me, okay? And Kyler
he's a legitimate 6 feet, if not 6'1".
He's like Drew Brees, which is fine and is not an issue. He's probably bigger than Russell Wilson, and he is a lot bigger than Kyler Murray, who is torching the league right now.
Oh, Kyler Murray, remember they did the whole height measurement with this guy because there was a big debate whether he was over 5'6"?
Yes, exactly.
And people mistook him for Smoking Joe Talamo or some jockey. He said, what are you doing here, man? This is the NFL Combine, man. The racetrack's the other side of town. But and he was wearing a Frenchie Fuqua shoes with the 8-inch heels. And a fish tank in there had a little goldfish in the bottom. And he still just barely measured 5'8". It was kind of like Harold Miner being listed at, what was he listed at, 6'4", Harold Miner?
Yes.
He was shorter than me.
And he was like 6'1", exactly.
I don't even think he was close to 6 feet. I think he was 5'10".
Really?
Harold
Miner,
but he could talk.
Harold Miner was like 5'10"? They had him at like 6'4", like a strong
6'4". Yeah, no, it was the biggest exaggeration, I think, in terms of statistical information about a guy's height and weight that we've ever seen. By the way, speaking of, and we had the poll question, how are we doing with that? More significant to society, Tua starting on Sunday or the presidential election results on Tuesday? How are we doing with that one?
Again, it's on Twitter, at Defo Show. Right now, that poll is 55% are saying 2020 election. It's getting close, though. 45% think Tua starting is the most significant thing in the world to ever happen. We want your vote, at Defo Show.
I'm curious to see what people really think about that. We probably should have used the Coney Barrett Supreme Court. And she's going to be confirmed today, I think. Mitch is having a vote at midnight tonight. He hasn't invited anybody but the guys that are saying yay. Unbelievable. But speaking of politics, Jim DeFede had a debate. Remember Billy Corbin came on and he was talking about the opponent for Donna Shalala? And far be it from Billy to back Donna Shalala in any endeavor. But he was firmly in her corner, and the 357 votes thing on HBO, just a tremendous, I mean, his greatest piece of work. The mind of this man is just incredible, and the research and the digging up that they do to find these clips to put together these tremendous documentaries, no wonder HBO has given him an open checkbook to go ahead and probably make another one. But I remember you saying that Shalala's opponent was some kind of raving lunatic?
Yes, he was.
Do you recall that? This is Billy Corbin. Now, well, we're not getting involved in a political thing. We're sitting the fence. But nonetheless, just an observation. And Jim DeFede had him on a debate on his, like, Face South Florida debate show that he has on the Sunday morning news.
Yeah.
And, you know, DeFede will fire it up a little bit. I like Jim. You know, does a great job with this stuff. And Donna Shalala, though, they had her in a very unflattering video shot. And she really did. I mean, she looked like... She looked like she had gone 12 with Sugar Shane Mosley in his prime. And yet, the other woman was screaming. I mean, communista, communista. It was just unbelievable. All right, back with more in a moment. I'll be happy when it's all over. Because I don't know that I can look at another ad for Debbie Mukersell Powell. How much money does she have on? My God. Who's running against her? You wouldn't even know. Is it Carlos? I'm not sure. Back with more in a moment. Now that.
The time.
It's 8:53.